Next on BYUSN, the good, the bad, and the ugly. BYU men's basketball lose by 31 at Houston just days after a 20-point win. How are we feeling about the state of Cougar hoops through two Big 12 games? And with college football bowl season basically in the books, does BYU have a legit shot at finishing in the top 10 of the final AP poll?
ESPN's Trevor Maddich tells us what he likes about BYU's transfer portal additions and what positions remain the biggest need for the Cougars. And do we expect to see Darius Lassiter playing for BYU next season? When is he making a decision?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope you're all enjoying your new year. And a happy Monday, January 6th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who's ready to watch more BYU football. Maybe against, Coach Kiffin, Jerem Jordan.
Reddit College Football tweeted out, hey, are there any reasons not to play this game a week from now, Ole Miss versus BYU? Would be a tremendous game. Seems like both teams would be up for the challenge. This would be the NIT, if you will, title of outside the college football playoff. Lane Kiffin responded, spot the ball.
Okay.
Which I would submit, we have to have a kickoff prior to that, but Lane's not the only one who wants more BYU football. I know Colorado was the big draw, don't get me wrong. I get it.
Absolutely.
But 8 million viewers for the Alamo Bowl.
To watch that BYU beatdown of Colorado.
Wow. In the modern era of BYU football, this is the most viewed TV game. Now, if you consult one Duff Tittle, historian, and in the sports information department with athletics, he says that in 1953, BYU played Utah on NBC, and there was an estimated 60 million people watched that game. There used to be three channels, right?
What?
I believe it was ABC, NBC, and the CW. Just kidding. But that is an amazing number that BYU had 8 million viewers. I understand Colorado's the big draw, blah, blah, blah. That was awesome that BYU pounded Colorado.
Oh, my goodness.
In front of a lot of humans.
A couple of things there. Deion Sanders Jr., I loved his post. He quote tweeted and said, man, we got smacked in front of 8 million people. We really got smacked in front of this many people?
They said clapped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then there is this whole Lane Kiffin BYU situation. BYU literally had a game with Ole Miss scheduled that they opted to get out of, Jerem. Ole Miss opted out of this game in non-conference.
In the future.
In the future. They had the game on the schedule.
BYU didn't cancel? It was Ole Miss?
My understanding that Ole Miss asked to not play that game.
Ole Miss.
I will admit my error if that is not the case, but as it was explained to me,
it's supposed to be 28 and 29.
Ole Miss wanted no part of that game. So, Lane, do you really mean that? You really want to spot the ball? Bring back the game.
That would be a really fun one, the Jackson Dart storyline.
Yes.
Utah kid.
Oh, yeah. That was so fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
That would be a fun matchup. I would love to see BYU's defense against the speed of the receivers and the tempo of Ole Miss. That'd be great.
The only two teams.
Can we play that this weekend?
Ranked between 7 and 17 in the AP poll that actually won. I know. Semantics
Duke,
of the bowl
Duke
game
was
and
terrible.
The playoff.
Quarterback opted out.
But interesting stuff. Yeah. All right, enough of that. Time to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Yeah, I think there's always stuff you can build from.
Pretty sure we're underdog going into next year, too. So.
And right here, you see what we can do in the Big 12.
We know who we are. We got a really good basketball team. We're together.
I think there's so much to still be determined about the BYU team.
Learn from it and then have a quick memory and get ready for Tuesday.
What's trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Hold on a sec. I had not heard that Kalani part. He said that sarcastically, I'm pretty sure we're an underdog going into next year. Did he say that in the postgame?
Yes.
Just playing off the, no one thought we could do it, even in this game.
Embrace it. And
that's
he has.
Funny.
And he has.
That's funny.
More football in a moment. We'll begin trending with a basketball topic.
This is tough, man.
Because BYU ran into the best defense in all of college basketball and an absolutely ramped up Houston team, lost by 31 against the 14th ranked Cougars in red. Yeah. BYU drops to 1-1 in Big 12 play. We've seen two polar opposites. Yep. BYU at home dominating Arizona State and then just getting boat raced by Houston on the road. So what is your impression of the state of BYU men's basketball through two very different Big 12 conference games?
Kevin Young's NBA experience has caused me to think more about NBA games. I go to a bunch of NBA games with the Jazz and whatnot. There are nights where you're just off and the other team just dominates. You just move on to the next game. That's what BYU has to do with this one. It's BYU's largest loss since a 33-point loss at Gonzaga in 22. This BYU team is not going to play like that again this season. They're not going to lose by 31 on the road to somebody. I just don't see it. That was crazy. One, it's tough to win on the road. Okay, it's in this league. It's tough to win on the road.
1,000,000%.
And BYU played at Providence and Houston now, and it's two true road games. It's two very good teams. Houston is really good again.
Houston made 16 threes on top of being the best defensive team in the country.
Right. Houston's defense is amazing, so turned BYU over 15 times. Granted, BYU had 14 turnovers against Arizona State and won by 20, so it's not like that's the only number that matters. But limited open looks, everything's tough. A lot of reaching and grabbing. That played into Houston's favor, right? I'm not saying, like, the refs blew it. I'm not saying that. BYU didn't make shots and didn't get open, didn't get downhill. Plus 13 on the glass for Houston. They dominated one of the best rebounding teams in the country in BYU. BYU couldn't grab a rebound. Like, the ball was dipped in butter at one point. Guys are diving on the floor. It was tough to get a rebound. BYU didn't get downhill. A lot of stickiness, end of the shot clock. Dallin Hall took one shot. Like, it was just hard for certain guys to get open. Number three, Yegor Demon and Dallin Hall, they need to score more. They need to score more. They combined for 10 points on 2 of 7 shooting. They need to shoot more and score more. Demon had 7 assists. Hall had 0. They need to put up a 25-point, 10-assist game combined.
Okay.
That's what I need from the point guards here. Overall, I'm not overly concerned about this loss. It was going to be tough to win there anyway. If you lose by 1 or 31, it's a loss. Well, that's going to lead to that. You're going to see a different BYU team tomorrow night against Texas
100%.
Tech. Because Provo and because Texas Tech is different. Texas Tech is an elite shooting team. They're not an elite defensive team. It's going to be different. That plays into BYU style.
Quad one game, by the way.
As of now, yes, because they're 30 in net. So that was a bad matchup for Brigham against the Red Cougs. Not overly concerned. Was I angry and super upset and didn't want to talk to anybody during the game? Yes! I was bugged, but I know that, guess what? Another game coming up tomorrow night. You move on to that one.
To follow up with the point guard rhetoric, how much of what is happening with Yegor Demian and Dallin Hall deals with both were injured and out for an extended period of time, and they haven't had that much time to just play together on the floor in this rotation? And how much time do we then grant them to get right in that regard? This is a legitimate question, not just for you, but for everyone. It's I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the answer, which is why I'm bringing it up. Maybe you have a better answer.
I want Dallin Hall to shoot more than once. He shot one time against Houston. I want him to be part of the offense.
Do we give him 4 or 5 more games together now that they're both healthy?
Sure.
Before, okay.
What I don't want is a 31-point loss. I just want BYU to compete better in that game.
Fair.
But at the end of the day, again, you lose by 1, you lose by 31, you lost. So on to the next one. Play better against Texas Tech. And then you got a tough, TCU game coming up Saturday on the road. So, yeah, you move on to the next one. That's the good news is this isn't football where you sit on it for a week. You sit on it for like 3 days. And then you go to the next game.
And there are no byes.
Nope.
You play every Tuesday and Saturday.
Yeah. We've got one Wednesday game
in March, and Saturday.
And that's it.
You got to go. You got to go.
Which I kind of love, actually.
Yes. Turn the page quickly, to your point, like the NBA. Sometimes you just lay an egg. It's just an absolute dud. That was it for BYU.
Yep.
Houston is really good. They do this on the regular to other really good basketball teams. This will not be the only team that Houston absolutely annihilates on their home floor. They'll do it to several good teams in the Big 12. Young teams tend to fall into certain tendencies. And I know BYU has some veterans. I took a little bit of flack for calling this a young team. It's a young team, given that they have a brand new coaching staff and you've got 2 freshmen that are in the starting 5 and you have some new components that have come from other places. So, yes, while you have Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders and Trevin Nell and Dawson Baker and Foos, there are some veteran pieces that have played a nice role already, but they're still new together. Like, it's still a young team that has not played a ton as this specific unit.
That'll be every team every year, though. Because transfer portal, freshman, you're only going to have like 5 or 6.
I'm talking the staff,
guys,
too. The staff won't always be this new.
True.
The staff will not always be this new.
So how long are we giving them then?
That's the question.
Yeah.
That is the question.
Of like, all right, you're getting your feet wet still.
Probably almost to the halfway point of conference is kind of where I'm going.
Honestly, it's less about what BYU didn't do to me, and it's just more about how good Houston was.
Houston is elite.
I just tipped the hat to Houston in that game. Like, it's not a bad. BYU should have done X. Houston was awesome, dude. Houston, sometimes the other teams is better.
Houston beat BYU in Provo last year. Because
seven. It was competitive.
That's what veteran elite teams do. They know how to win on the road. And the reason I'm bringing up youth here and maybe some inexperience is because you have to learn a couple of things. One, you have to learn how to win close games. And two, you have to learn how to win on the road, probably in that order. You need to learn how to win close, and then you need to develop mental toughness to win on the road. And that will just take time. It'll take time. Even last year, BYU was a veteran squad. They grew old together. Even that team struggled mightily at times on the road. They lost to Oklahoma State on the road. They got boat raced to a degree by Oklahoma, who was a mid team in the Big 12 last year, but it was on the road. It's so difficult to win road games. So can BYU figure out a way to win three away from Provo and then go 7-3 at
home?
That's
the model. 7-3, 3-7, yep. To go 10-10.
I feel like that is fair, because other teams are going to struggle to play well in the Marriott Center when that crowd is rocking and rolling. Great teams, like elite teams, find a way to win close games, and they find a way to win on the road.
Which three road games BYU can win is the question. At TCU is a game that BYU can win. At Utah is a game I expect BYU to win. At Colorado is a game I expect BYU to win. So
they could win
two,
that game.
There's two there. At UCF is going to be tough. UCF just grinds.
UCF beat Texas Tech.
At Cincinnati, at West Virginia, that's going to be a brutal road swing. Those are two quality clubs right there. At Arizona is going to be tough. I know Arizona's down. I love that Arizona beat Cincinnati and it's an upset. It's like, now wait a minute. Now wait just a second. At Arizona State is a game that BYU could compete well or win it.
Could win.
That's a tough game. At Iowa State, that's the toughest road game BYU plays all year. So give me Utah, Colorado, maybe TCU this Saturday.
Find a way to win three road games.
At least.
Learn how to win a few of those games close. And then, like, you have something to build off.
Yeah.
You look at so many BYU teams in the past that are in similar situations where they're so good at home, but those young players are like, that you get rattled easier on the road. It's just tough until you've gone through it together. How much can the vets help with that with these young guys? That's the question. But I think we agree. Three road wins. Like, find a way to win three and then win seven of your 10 home games, and BYU's in great position.
Which three is BYU not winning at home? It's going to be tougher against Baylor, Arizona at home, Kansas at home. West Virginia at home is going to be tough. So, yeah.
BYU will win some big games at home.
Yeah, I think BYU is going at least 7-3 at home. I think the home court's really good. 14-game win streak right now at home. It's awesome.
The one that's concerning for me is the Providence scenario, because Providence is not great. I think they're 80 in net. They're 7-8 overall. And BYU got run out of the building there. But that was when Yegor got hurt early in the game. It was their first road game, learning experiences.
Yeah. Yegor certainly post-injury is not the same dude right now. Hopefully he can get as healthy as humanly possible and back to what he was doing. I know the competition's different, but this guy's too good to be playing like this right now.
He has to learn how to deal with the physicality of the Big 12 too.
His assists are up, but his points are down.
You want more scoring from down home?
Want more scoring from the point guards. Yeah.
That could very well be the key to BYU winning more games.
Yep.
Just more production from those two outstanding players.
Yep. They're really good. They're not going to be down for long.
Our question of the day: what are your Big 12 expectations for BYU men's basketball after two games? You heard what Jeremy and I think. We feel like 10-10 is a fair mark to look for.
Still same trajectory.
Yes.
Didn't change it.
1-1 right now. One at home. Yeah. Lost on the road against an elite Houston
Every
team.
Game decided by 20-plus.
At Coug Jazz Fan on X answers, go 500 and hopefully make the tournament. If BYU goes 500
they
in this
will
league,
make the tournament. They'll
be a single-digit seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Is there a legitimate chance BYU football finishes in the top 10? We've seen a lot of losses from teams ahead of BYU.
It's an interesting dynamic to look at. How many teams have lost in front of BYU? I know. It's set up that way because of the college football playoff. But
that ain't BYU's fault.
Explain teams like Alabama, South Carolina, and Miami that were not playing in the college football playoff, that were all favored in their games, that did not win those games. So Alabama loses to unranked Michigan. South Carolina loses to number 21 Illinois. South Carolina was a favorite. I thought they had the best shot or the best case to get in the playoff that didn't, the way that they were playing. And then Miami loses a crazy Pop-Tarts Bowl to Iowa State by 1 point. I know Cam Ward left at halftime. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah. They still lost.
Shout out to Iowa State for repping.
Anybody that lost in the college football playoff outside of Clemson, I don't believe should fall below BYU. I think BYU has enough on their resume to pass a four-loss Clemson team
and a four-loss Alabama.
And a four-loss Alabama.
Yeah, agreed.
So I expect BYU to jump up to probably number 12. They're not going to pass Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss will finish at number 11. And then Arizona State deservedly will be somewhere in the top 10 based on what they did against Texas and losing in double overtime. Arizona State might hop Indiana, Boise State, and Tennessee. They might jump up three spots.
They showed well, which was our worst case scenario. We wanted Arizona State to lose. And for me, convincingly. They played so well in that second half. That fourth quarter was incredible. That was the best college football playoff game. Arizona State did a tremendous
Wasn't it the
job
best
there.
Of both worlds, though? Because the Big 12 was well represented. There's respect given. And then BYU fans are happy because Arizona State still went home sad.
Well, it's tough because the Cactus Utes looked good. Cam Scadaboo was a machine, man.
He is unbelievable.
That guy's a cyborg.
He is unbelievable.
And he was like thrown up on the sideline, taking plays off. He has to get back in there. Like, they did well. They did well.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think BYU is going to finish
just
the
outside.
10. Like, BYU played so well in the bowl game, it'd be really fun if they did. See, here's why it's a deal for the why does this matter crowd. I don't know how many of you are out there, but if there's like seven of you. It matters because it's going to affect the preseason poll next year. That's why. And if BYU can put together a similar season and compete well, then they'll be in playoff position for an at-large if they don't win the Big 12 next year, if they do all that. BYU started from way out and didn't have a top 10 game to launch them in to this. You look at 84 and 2009, those were teams that got a top five win early, shoved you into the top 10, and then you try and climb from there. That could happen with BYU in terms of just getting in position there. They don't have an early non-conference game that's going to blow you away. It's Stanford.
East Carolina?
What about the Pirates? Arr! No. But I'm excited for the opportunity. Should BYU be a preseason top 15 team next year of what they can start to do if they can assimilate a similar season to what they did this year?
It's like a pole position in a race.
Yeah, for sure.
It very much is like a NASCAR race. If you are somewhere in the top 10,
our demo understands NASCAR.
You undoubtedly have a better chance of winning the said race compared to a car that's somewhere back around 36 or 37 in the start.
Tell them, okay? Dale.
Come on. This is common logic here. The same applies in major college football. I wish it weren't as prominent, but it is.
Right.
It is. Yeah. So BYU, with any head start, per se, that they can get.
Nice.
I will take it, Jerem. Number 12, I expect to finish number 12, just behind Ole Miss, number 11.
Yes, and BYU finishing 12.
First time since 09?
Since 20. They finished 11.
They finished 11 in 20,
yeah, but in a regular season of sorts, since 09, 12th. Yeah, 12, top 12 is, I mean, it's been like seven or eight times, it looks like. Yeah.
Does not happen often.
That'd be awesome.
Well-deserved by BYU. Mm-hmm. Not going to be a top 10 team. Though the idea and the fact that we can even have this conversation, very fun.
Yeah, I love it. More of that.
What is it going to take for pollsters to buy into BYU next year other than returning quarterback, returning production on offense? Obviously, they saw what BYU did in the Big 12. Maybe it's just an infusion of some more talent. Got Chase Roberts back. Is Darius Lasseter the other top receiver going to come back? He said on KSL Radio that he will make a decision by the end of the week if he will return to BYU for another season and use that junior college exception that has now come into play.
Thank you, brother Diego Pavia.
Do you expect Darius Lasseter to return for another season?
I'd be surprised if he doesn't. I think I don't know what his quote-unquote draft grade would be, but I would guess undrafted free agent right now. I'd be surprised if he doesn't come back. I expect him to be back next year and for them to run it back with this receiving core and running backs and quarterback, and it's going to be exciting that BYU brings back a top 25 points per play offense. They didn't put up huge total numbers, but that's because they ran less kind of tempo offense and they were efficient when they had the ball. They took advantage of short fields. BYU was an efficient offense, and I expect that again next year with Darius Lasseter.
I don't know how a player in Darius's situation doesn't look at this and think, you know what? right now I'm projected to be undrafted free agent, and I am guaranteed to be one of the guys for BYU next year, and I have a real opportunity to follow up something special. Why would you not jump in on that and the NIL?
And revenue sharing, which comes in.
And revenue sharing. Good point. Yep. Why would you not take advantage of what is guaranteed? This is all guaranteed right now. And you know that he is a necessary component on this team.
Yeah,
BYU needs his attitude.
Huge.
He's a dog on the field. They need players like Darius. They need him on this team.
Won the Oklahoma State game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Massive, like, amazing hands.
Cash in. Yeah. On the NIL and the shared revenue and all the things go along with it, and then see if you can push your stock up even a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't feel like there's a ton of risk involved.
No.
There's way more reward in coming back, in my opinion. We'll see what he says.
Women's Hoops starts Big 12 play 0-3. They lost at number 18, West Virginia. Had 31 turnovers. Crazy. Is it time to panic for Women's Hoops?
31 turnovers, by the way, and this game was tied like late in third quarter.
That's incredible.
How?
Let's just talk about margin.
A little bit. I'm a little concerned about this team. I thought that they should have won the home game against Arizona and should have a Big 12 win already.
Yeah, yeah.
Cincinnati is a game that they could have and I feel like should have won as well. Like they, at worst, I believe they should be 1-2 in Big 12 play. So the fact that they're 0-3 right now, you just worry about the mentality of the team. Like how do you prevent this from snowballing out of control?
Yeah.
They need something positive, and that's why I'm concerned.
And it's Houston Wednesday.
And
that's the positivity. They're going to win that
game. Yes, they should.
Absolutely.
Houston is – they run up and down like crazy.
They're not good.
Like they're out of – but they're not a good team.
They will avenge the men's loss.
It just stinks that BYU can't be 2-2 out there. But still, something positive to reset.
Yeah, I am concerned about the start. It's not a great start. It's not what they wanted. But a big week with Houston and then, hey, compete well against Kansas State. BYU almost beat that team when they were top five last year on the road. Now you get them in Provo. Big week for the Cougs.
If BYU loses to Houston in women's hoops, then it's time to panic.
Yeah.
Then it full send.
Full send panic, Jerry.
But they're not going to.
No, no. Okay, men's hoops, take it on Texas Tech tomorrow. Big game with the Red Raiders. BYU's got to avenge two losses, including the Big 12 tournament loss last year.
Win your home games.
Tomorrow night, pregame, BYU TV, BYU Radio, 8 Eastern time.
After the break, back to football with ESPN's Trevor Maddich. He discusses what BYU has done in the transfer portal, what he expects from them next season because of it, and he looks ahead to the college football playoff semifinals. Who does he have winning it all? This is BYU-USA.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
You can make a case that this is the most complete team in BYU history. BYU was a solid team and as solid as any in the country. BYU football believes in Coach Satake because they've seen the success that they've had.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. Hope all of you are enjoying your new year thus far. And we have a great gift for you early in 2025. That is another Maddich Monday back on BYUSN. ESPN college football insider, analyst, and expert Trevor Maddich joins us. Happy New Year, Trevor. What's your New Year's resolution for college football at this juncture?
Keep going on the trajectory it's going with the playoff. I think that the committee and the people, the powers that be, will change a little bit about some of the way the playoff works in terms of seeding and things like that. But other than that, I wanted to keep going in this trajectory. Players are being paid. The fans are being served. And I think that it can only get better.
BYU is hoping it can finish as high as humanly possible in the final AP poll that will come out in a couple of weeks. It helps that teams 7 through 15 all lost thanks to a playoff. Do you think BYU has a shot at finishing in the top 10?
There is an outside chance they can do that. Some of those teams that lost in the playoff won't be penalized to the point that they'll drop out behind BYU. But at the same time, there's others who just lost regular bowl games. I mean, you've got Alabama lost, South Carolina lost. And so it depends on what the committee will do with the teams that lost in the playoff. Remember that, or not the committee, but the AP poll voters. Remember that the way the committee handled losers of conference championship games, they made a conscious effort to not penalize them too much in their final ranking. And we'll see what the AP voters do when it comes to teams that lost in the playoff. But that's what will need to happen in order for BYU to rise that high.
Trevor, it feels certainly like BYU will be top 14 at worst, given all the losses in front of them. Regardless, let's say BYU is number 13 or number 14. What does that do to help them and propel them into next season for what they hope is another magical run?
It's another in a stack of things that have lent credibility to BYU's football program recently. I mean, the fact that they were ranked as high as six, I think, in the committee's ranking, the fact that they finished tied for first place with three other teams in the Big 12, you know, and they lost out on the Big 12 championship game by a tiebreaker. And when you talk about the victory over Colorado in the Alamo Bowl, which was huge given the massive audience that tuned into that and how everybody expected that Colorado would win that game because their starting quarterback, who may be the first quarterback taken in the draft, and the reigning Heisman Trophy winner both played in that game, and it made no difference at all. BYU got the dominant win in front of the nation with no real competition in college football on that night. You put those things together with a higher ranking now from the AP as we head into the offseason, and it tells recruits, high-level recruits, that they need to take a look at BYU. Because before BYU entered the Power Conference, the Big 12, it was difficult to get some of those recruits to even look at the Cougars because they wanted to go to a Power Conference. They wanted to go to a place where they had a chance to make the playoff and possibly win a national championship. You can make the NFL from anywhere, but in the college world, that's where you needed to be. And so the power schools, for the most part. And so the fact that BYU is now a member of that club, the fact that they are performing at a high level in that club, the fact that they now are having kind of a little bit of a snowball when it comes to recruits and transfers that are committing to BYU, guys that are coming from power conferences to commit to BYU. These are things that create that snowball, that create that stacking items that add credibility on top of credibility on top of credibility. And this is why it's important for BYU. People would say that the last ranking in the AP poll doesn't really matter, but it kind of does. Because once again, it's a matter of getting those players that would be a good fit for BYU to actually explore BYU. And the players that are a good fit for this school actually find that there's a lot of reasons to come besides all the things that I just talked about. And when those things are stacked on top, BYU has a formidable recruiting pitch to outstanding players.
We've seen some of those guys already come in the transfer portal, notably Andrew Gentry, offensive lineman from Michigan, and Keanu Tanuvasa from Utah, who is the rare proven power four transfer for BYU. What kind of impact could he have on the D-line next year?
It'll be massive. I mean, as a playmaker, he was a guy at Utah that showed the ability to not just be a plugger, but to get behind the line and create havoc. And at BYU, the way the Cougars play defense, he'll have even more of a chance to do that. I think that, you know, the line of scrimmage was an important target for the transfer portal on both sides. And on the defensive side, not only are they having to replace starters, they're having to replace some of the backups who decided to transfer out. And so having guys like Tanuvasa come in and be able to not just replace the production, but also create that stout competition in the rotation, that is absolutely huge. And it's not just him. There's other guys that are coming in as well from Utah, from other places that will have the production, that will have the competition. And remember that. I think Tanuvasa will, I believe, undoubtedly start. He'll have to earn the position, of course, but I believe he will. But when you've got other guys coming in and create competition at those positions, it makes everybody better, not just in the rotation, but it makes the starters better. Because they know that if they don't practice as hard as they possibly can and do every small thing right, the guy behind him is pretty good too. And that is how a program is built, competition at each position. And having Tanuvasa is, I'm glad he chose BYU. By all accounts, he's a great fit for BYU, but he will add so much more to BYU than just the fact that he's a playmaker.
Trevor Maddich of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. It is another Maddich Monday. Along with Tanu Vasa, let's go ahead and throw in Tausili Akana, an edge from Texas that transfers in. Then you have Andrew Gentry on the opposite side on the offensive line. Hunter Clegg, another of those Utah products. We can go on. I mean, the list's getting longer, Trevor, to your point. So what else does BYU need to do in the portal that they haven't already accomplished to get better for 2025?
You never have too many big guys who can run. I would love to see them add even more defensive linemen. I would love to see them add even more offensive linemen. And again, for development, for competition, for attrition, for all these purposes. Keep in mind that the problem that BYU had last year was injuries, not just on the offensive line, but especially on the defensive line and the defensive front. And that's one of the reasons that they struggled down the stretch in 2023. And part of the reason that SMU played for the ACC championship and made the playoff is because of their concerted effort to bring in transfers and high school recruits, but especially transfers on the offensive and defensive line to bulk up not just the size and the strength and the playmaking ability, but also the depth. Because in a power conference schedule, as BYU fans know, causes a lot of attrition from time to time. And so I think both lines of scrimmage are important. Having Chase Roberts come back is huge, huge. But you can never have too many little guys who can run on the perimeter. It's got to be the right fit, though. Coach Satake has talked about this a lot, that they want to bring in people that are the right fit for the culture of the program. Ultimately, BYU will have its success, not because they out-athlete people. They can compete athletically, but their greatest potential for the greatest success will always be because of the culture, the kind of player they bring in, how coachable they are, how mature they are, how they stay out of trouble, and how they embrace the boundaries of the honor code and of the nature of being a student-athlete at BYU. You can fight it, or you can embrace it and see it as empowering. And that's the kind of player that they want to bring in. Fortunately, there are a lot of guys that want to have their college experience be exactly like that, not just LDS players, but other religions as well. And so to continue to build that culture with guys who fit into the culture and are not wedged into the culture is just massive as they go forward and they continue to recruit at this level.
I told Spencer when we were at BYU, once you embrace the honor code, you're going to have a lot more fun here. And once he did, I thought you had a great time. Did you just call receivers little guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can have these 6'4 guys and 6'3 guys like Roberts, but they're still little guys. Bring them in and have them do a 9-on-7 drill, inside run, and then tell me they're not little guys. As a matter of fact, there are coaches around the country that will stop practice of the little guys during 9-on-7. So 7-on-7, the pass drills, things like that, where there are no linemen present, they will take those guys, stop their practice, bring them over for the 9-on-7 drill, which is inside run. So you've got offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, running backs, and then a quarterback to hand it off. And it is a battle in there. I mean, it is fury in there. And they will always tell you, the little guys who come and watch that they leave with a different appreciation for what the big guys do.
Trevor Maddich of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, Trevor, one of the bigger storylines in college football, especially over the last week, has been assessing what happened in the college football playoff up to this point. And almost incredibly, none of the top four seeds survive. All four teams that had a lengthy rest and layoff and bye are now out of it. So, in your opinion, is it a disadvantage to be one of the top four seeds in this format, having not played, unlike the other teams who played on December 20th or 21st and then got to play again 10 days later?
It can be. The debate of rest versus rust rages on, but I think in part that happened because they were playing really good teams. While the conference champions all lost, all five of them that got an automatic berth, the four that had the bye all lost, but the favorites in all those games are undefeated. So the better team, according to who was favored to win, won all of those games. People that can remember back to the early days of the Holiday Bowl when BYU went every year, remember that the Holiday Bowl had a reputation for being the most exciting bowl game. And it was partly because the layoff between the end of the regular season and the bowl, BYU's timing on offense especially kind of left. And it took them about a half to get up to speed. And BYU would often fall behind in that first half. And then they would have a furious comeback. And sometimes they'd win, sometimes they'd lose. But it was always exciting for the fans. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that with that long layoff, that it does affect your timing, at least in the beginning of games.
Two semifinals coming up this week, Trevor. Texas, Ohio State, Penn State versus Notre Dame. Who you got?
You know, I've got Ohio State. We'll start there because they are playing at a level that we haven't seen all season long from anybody. Their defense is playing with a ferocious viciousness that I think is born of the Michigan loss when they lost to their rival on their home field in the last game of the regular season. Michigan planted their flag in the middle of Ohio State Stadium, for goodness sake. And I think that they've been playing angry, just furious because of all the conversation about that and the fact that they lost for the fourth year in a row to their rival. And you can see it in the hits. I mean, when they played Oregon, those Buckeye defenders would come flying up and smash a duck ball carrier, and all you would see was that in the aftermath was like a little puff of green powder. You know, it was just amazing how they hit beyond what anybody else does, motivated to be just angry beyond what everybody else does. You combine that with Ohio State's skill people. Their wide receivers have been unstoppable, and their offensive line has injuries. Their left tackle and center, both all-stars, were hurt. Took them a while to get everything shuffled into where it was working properly, but now that offensive line is playing well. I think Ohio State makes the final. I think they win it all, and I think the team they beat is Penn State. The thing about Penn State against Notre Dame is that they'll use the same defensive strategy that they used to beat Boise State. Ashton Jeanty, the number two guy in the Heisman race this year, the running back for Boise State, they shut him down in that game because they swarmed him, and they decided, Penn State's defense did, that they could live with it if Boise hit some passes down the field. Well, Boise did, but not enough to win the game, and the whole idea for the Nittany Lions was don't let Jeanty beat you. Well, Notre Dame is very committed to the run. As a matter of fact, in their win against Georgia, the only thing that worked in that game on that for their offense was the quarterback run. Riley Leonard had 80 yards rushing, and the running backs couldn't run. They couldn't throw the ball very well. They won that game not because of offense. They only scored one offensive touchdown. They won that game, Notre Dame did, because their defense was magnificent, and they had a kickoff return for a touchdown. So I think Penn State is going to come in with the same philosophy. Swarm the run and live with it if Riley Leonard can hit some passes down the field, which he hasn't done much of. I think Penn State comes out of that one. It's a rematch between the Buckeyes and the Nittany Lions, and I think nothing is going to stop Ohio State.
Trevor Maddich, informed and insightful as always. Looking forward to much more of you on ESPN as the playoff football continues this week. Trevor, thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We're down to the Final Four.
We're down to the championship. FCS tonight. Trevor will be on studio coverage.
Just talking about those teams, and I just can't help but think, what if? Just what if? Just beat Kansas.
What if on Disney Plus, Season 3. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is coming up Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern time, on the BYU TV app. Big week for the Cougs.
Hey, which Cougars in the NFL made the playoffs? Kyle Van Noy's in it. Plus, A.J. DeBonta and Xavion Staten teaming up before they get to BYU?
Hey.
What's the deal there? This is BYU Sports Nation.
What's the deal?
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to a busy edition of Monday headlines.
As basketball falls on the road at number 14 Houston, 86-55 Saturday with the loss. BYU 1-1 in Big 12 play on the season. BYU turned the ball over 15 times, out rebounded by 13. The good news, they're on to Texas Tech tomorrow night in the Marriott Center. This is
a breezy win.
Here, if you missed it, here's some of the good highlights. This is great. 8 Eastern time, we'll have pregame for you tomorrow night.
Huge challenge at home.
Yep.
BYU football had 9 players named to the Phil Steele All-American and All Big 12 teams. Notably, Keelan Marion, first-team All-American, first-team All-Big 12 as a kick returner, Caleb Etienne, honorable mention All-American, first-team All-Big 12 on the offensive line, Will Farron, Tyler Batty, Jack Kelly, Chase Roberts, Jacob Robinson, Isaiah Glasker, and Blake Mangelson also received All-Big 12 honors. And Tyler Batty has accepted an invitation to play in the East-West Shrine Game on January 30th at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas.
So the Cougs did get to Dallas.
In a way.
By Cougs. Cougars in the NFL playoffs. Andy Reid, Kingsley Suomati, and the Chiefs, number one seed in the AFC. Earned a first-round bye. Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens, three seed in the AFC, host the Steelers on Saturday night. Congrats to KVN for his $250,000 sack.
Ooh.
Puka Nacua and the Rams are the fourth seed in the NFC, host the Vikings next Monday night. Michael Davis and the Commanders, sixth seed, play the Bucks on Sunday. Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson, the Packers, seventh seed, play the at the Eagles Sunday. That'll be a good game. Zach Wilson and the Broncos, seventh seed, playing the Bills on Sunday. Congrats to all those guys making the playoffs.
Other Cougars in the NFL and news surrounding that. Fred Warner named to a Pro Bowl for the fourth time in his career.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's clap worthy.
Mr. Consistency, that's Fred Warner.
And
let's
he's go. Got commercials now?
Yes, he does.
See that with his
some
wife?
Big time programs. Yeah.
Experian or something?
Yeah. Kyle Van Noy, you just mentioned it, had one sack against the Cleveland Browns, giving him 12 and a half for the season. That's a career best and got him a quarter of $1 million in doing so.
Women's basketball turned the ball over 31 times in a 66-53 loss at number 18 West Virginia on Saturday. I dare say if they cut that in half, things change quite
yes.
a bit. Cougars 0-3 in league play, seeking the first Big 12 win Wednesday against Houston at home. I'm calling my shot. It's not aggressive. BYU's winning that
It's going to happen.
I was going to say go Cougs.
Number six, BYU men's volleyball opening their 2025 season with
two wins.
At number 11, Ohio State. Never easy to win there.
Five in a row, by the way, against the Buckeyes.
Both victories coming in four sets, too. Hawaii transfer Keone Thim shined in his BYU debut, totaling 32 kills, eight aces, and the two wins, along with Luke Benson's team-high 34 kills. Dude, that mustache is legit.
And honor code approved.
BYU will host St. Thomas Aquinas College in their home opener on Friday.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Going to be fun. Number 22 gymnastics opened the season at the American Gold Collegiate in Nashville, one of our favorite places, finishing in third, score of 194-625. Took on number one Oklahoma, number seven Auburn, and number 23 Nebraska. Kylie Iquinto led BYU, finishing eighth in the all-around with a score of 39-150. Fourth on the floor with a 9-8-25.
BYU men's basketball commit Xavion Staten is transferring to play at Utah Prep.
Oh,
why is this notable? Because current BYU commit and number one recruit in the nation, AJ DeBonta, also plays for Utah Prep. They'll team up there before they do in Provo next season.
That's exciting. I want to watch this team play even more than I did before now. Think of the alley-oops between these two.
Go.
It's going to be fun, man. Men's golf sophomore Peter Kim, speaking of Southern Utah, won the 2025 Coral Canyon Amateur. I say amateur normally, but in golf I say amateur.
Amateur.
Yeah. At the Coral Canyon Golf Course in Washington, Utah, after shooting 10 under par. We used to whisper those in golf voice. Should we get back to that?
That's a discussion that we should have going forward. Yes, in golf tones.
I don't want to discuss it.
I
just want to do it.
Okay, all right.
Back to you.
We can talk about it.
Back to you on 14.
BYU softball utility player Lily Owens in at number 74 in the Softball America preseason top 100 players list. Released this morning, Owens, top three for BYU last year in batting average, runs scored, and runs batted in. On the way, what are your Big 12 expectations for BYU men's basketball after the Cougars' first two games? Dominant home win against Arizona State, got blown out against Houston on the road. More responses to our question of the day after this on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Our question of the day, what are your Big 12 men's basketball expectations for the Cougars after two games? Radford 6303 on Instagram says, I think a 10-win season in conference is still possible.
Say overall, they have 10 now.
If not more.
Yeah.
Okay? Right on line with what we think.
It is 10 wins. It is early. Certainly you don't like what we saw on Saturday, but it doesn't mean it's going to be the case for the rest of the season. Because it was literally one game removed from a very good performance against Arizona State. So, like, a high and a low out of the gates. a little crazy there, seeing the two ends of the spectrum, I guess. You want to reel it in, be a little more consistent, I guess, in a good way. Don't want to be bad consistent. But Texas Tech comes in Tuesday night, and I think BYU can defend this team that shoots the ball really well. Three dudes that shoot over 40% from three. That's going to be a tough challenge. And it's a team that kind of took it to BYU twice last year. One in the regular season in Lubbock, one in the Big 12 tournament. Little payback's owed.
They just won by 29 in Salt Lake City on Saturday.
Yeah, that ain't no thing. A lot of teams are going to do that, Spence.
At Junior Verhoff on X Answers, it's going to be a tough conference schedule. Fingers crossed BYU can get enough of the right wins to make the tournament.
That's a good point, the right wins. Like, you can't just, like, beat up on Utah, Colorado, and
Arizona State,
and be like, we're good. You got to get some good wins. Like BYU did last year. Obviously, at Kansas is the highlight, but beating Baylor and Iowa State at home, those were massive. Like, you go on the road and win some significant
BYU's games. Win against Iowa State, when you look back at it, was their best win of the season.
Underrated.
It was, like, their best win of,
like,
the season.
Like, Kansas got all the attention, but Iowa State brought back a lot of that team and got better, and they're number three in the country. Like, beating Iowa State last year, which, by the way, was, like, by 12 or something, it was nice win.
It was
that was awesome.
It was a decisive victory. BYU was up by 19 with like 3 minutes to play.
And then, again, I say it, losers talk about margin, but BYU lost at Iowa State. That was a tight game. BYU had a possession to tie, unfortunately turned it over, but they played Iowa State tough. Can they do it again in only a road game this year with the cycle?
Winning at Kansas was magical, and the win that everybody in the nation will pay attention to.
Yes.
I'm not saying that winning at Kansas wasn't remarkable.
West Virginia just went in there and won.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Without like two starters.
But if we're talking about honest, like, quality win based on what Iowa State was last year compared to what Kansas was last year, BYU beating Iowa State last year was probably their best win, even though it happened in Provo.
Baylor might have been a better win. Who knows? Man. You know what I mean? Like, those were good wins. You have to – that's a great point. You have to get the right wins.
BYU plays enough of those teams. I don't think they can they can avoid.
This is not WCC like, oh, crap, we lost to Pacific. Now we have to beat St. Mary's or whatever. It's like, no, you have like 12 St. Mary's Gonzaga games.
Yes. Andrew Smith, 94 on Instagram, answers, expectations above 500, but not by much as I previously expected. A tough league is a good problem. Yeah. 11-9 would be amazing.
We're calling for 500. Like, we're not. That's a challenge in this league. Yeah, absolutely. It's not the best basketball league in America this year, by the way. That would be the SEC. Mm. But it is close, probably number two. It's still good enough to go 500, make the NCAA tournament.
Now, before we go to break, some sobering news. We want to collectively send our heartfelt condolences and respect to the Hoke family, a BYU legacy family. Former BYU football star Chris Hoke's wife, Jamie, passed away on Saturday after a long battle with cancer. Chris and Jamie's son, Nathan, is a freshman linebacker for BYU, and their daughter, Chloe, is a sophomore right now on the gymnastics team. Very cool moment over the weekend with the BYU gymnastics squad wearing pink and orange ribbons in honor of Jamie. We love you. We appreciate you. We send our prayers to the Hokes. More BYU Sports Nation after this.
BYU Sports Nation's on demand. You can download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review.
Our question of the day, what are your Big 12 expectations for BYU men's basketball after two games? Two polar opposites. 20-point win, which is the biggest win the BYU has ever had in Big 12 play against Arizona State, compared to a 31-point road loss against Houston.
Which is now the largest loss in Big 12 play.
A 51-point swing in two games.
A little polarizing there,
okay.
Boys.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Brian T. Walker on 4, who answers on X, quote, not as high as they were to begin the season. I understand that Houston is a really good team, but I expected BYU to be a little more competitive. At this point, I would be happy with finishing 8th or 9th in the Big 12.
That's how I still feel, and I'm
8th or 9th is probably 10 wins, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. You have 20 games, you have 16 teams. It's going to be tough, man.
Like, the difference between finishing 4th and 5th and 7th, 8th, and 9th is probably one win and some tiebreakers.
Yes, there are too many teams. Oh, the tiebreakers. Let's not get back into that. No, thanks.
That stings.
Yes, it does.
Tiebreakers sting!
I don't like tiebreakers.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Mr. Ralph Mann, who passed away at the age of 75, track and field superstar from BYU, three-time NCAA national champion, Olympic silver medalist, BYU Hall of Famer. He won three NCAA titles in the 440-yard hurdles, set a world record in 70 at the NCAA championships, which BYU won as a team, by the way, the lone outdoor team national title. Silver medal in Munich in 72. One of three Cougars ever to get an Olympic medal with Alma Richards in 1912 and then Kenneth Rooks. So shout out to Ralph Mann, who passed away at the age of 75.
Yeah, glad that we had a chance to talk about him. And fitting he was the silver medalist. We're talking about him the same year that Kenneth Rooks did it.
Yep.
Very cool. Our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
All of our shows on demand at BYUSN.com. For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Hebron Fangupo. We'll see you tomorrow. Big game for BYU men's basketball on the way. Lots to talk about. Go Cougs.